Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your good old dude who's where he needs to be. Can't you see? I'm so happy. Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You. Thank you for joining me once again this week. Here I am in Wayne Manor, nestled cozily in the early morning hours over in the east side of the manor in the Library of Evil. That's right, I'm here again, conjuring up all of your fine, fun, evil proxies to send out into the world to do my bidding. Ha 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 ha, yes. Wow, yeah, Grandpappy's medicine, that really got on top of me. I've got that here, nice little pipe loaded up. Gonna have to re-up on that today. I'm gonna make some phone calls later, if you know what I mean. I got some coffee, got a topo, I'm ready. I'm ready for the day. Today is, it's a double whammy today. If, I know this comes out on Monday, but the day I'm recording this, Sunday, is not only April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, it is also happens to be Easter Sunday, the day that the zombie Jesus rises from the grave to devour, I can't remember, what does he have to devour, like three virgin flesh women before the sun sets or something like that, or else the demon Golgotha comes out and then all the firstborn children are slain, I believe, in the city. If that's, I know I'm not too up on my Bible reading right now, but that sounds familiar. So I'm pretty sure that's what happens today. Also, there's bunnies and chocolate for some reason, but I don't think they're related. Yeah, so here we are. I sat down and I was like, man, do I not have like an April Fool's story to tell or some kind of Easter related story? And while I'm sure I do, I know that I won't remember any of them until I hit stop on this at the end of this episode, at which point I'll be like, ah, shit. Well, we'll save those for next year. But I was thinking about, you know, Easter and stuff growing up. You know, I remember, you know, we didn't live with our extended, within like proximity to our extended family for that long. You know, my family moved here to Houston, H-Town, Third Coast, Dirty Third, represent, Purple Scissor Up, when I was about six, like shortly after I turned six. So majority of my life has been spent here, and all of our extended family is in Pennsylvania. But what I do remember from Easter family times is like going to my grandma's, eating ham, I think, Easter baskets hidden everywhere with like the eggs that, you know, pennies and change in them and shit. That was always a big deal. I think, you know, a few of them would have a dollar in it, you know, and you try to find those, and if your cousin found them, you're like, fucking bitch, got a dollar and I didn't. All that kind of stuff, family. But it's kind of like, Easter's kind of like one of those weird holidays, because it's like, while the people who definitely celebrate Christmas are like, they celebrate Christmas, not everyone that does that is like, ah, Easter, cool, guess we'll do that. You know, it just seems to me, maybe I'm just not in the, I don't run in those circles, I'm misinformed, but to me it seems like Easter's kind of like one of those, eh, you know, you shrug it off kind of holidays. I've always had to work on Easter when I worked, you know, customer service stuff, you know, at Starbucks and things like that. You know, there is no, I mean, Christmas maybe if you're lucky, but Easter, that's not even anything to think about. I don't even know what's closed today, to be quite honest with you. I would say probably not much is closed today at all. So anyway, I don't know, it's one of those weird holidays. I also had a recovered memory of one of those times at my grandmother's when my grandma's house, Grandma Lang, RIP, rest in power. I think maybe it was, okay, so I have all these cloudy memories, but I kind of can put some pieces together. I had an aunt, we called her Aunt Babe. I don't really think she was my aunt per se. Maybe she was my mom's aunt, or maybe, I don't know. Aunt Babe is all we called her. She used to own a Dairy Queen, if I remember correctly. Like, that was like what we, you know, we were like, oh, Aunt Babe, she owns a Dairy Queen. We all go get ice cream and shit. I think it might have been her or my grandma this one Easter, or the combination of the two, that made Carob, because they made the candy. Like, I remember my grandma made all this candy, right? Like, the eggs with peanut butter in them, all this shit. She did all that. And I know my mom's listening, so if I'm wrong on any of this, I'm sure I will get a phone call correcting everything. Not a problem. I'll get the low down. But right now we're going with this, with my recovered memories. One year it was all carob. There was no real chocolate. They did all carob. And if you don't know what carob is, apparently, like, I don't know the scientific breakdown of this, but apparently it's like a fake chocolate, I think, type thing that's supposed to be better for you. It tastes like garbage. People, if somebody out there is like, nah, you know what, I enjoy a good carob egg from time, you're a liar. Please admit to yourself that you're a liar. I remember it tasting like garbage, and keep tasting different, opening different things and tasting them, being like, why does this taste weird? And then them telling us, oh, it's carob, it's better for you. And we're like, why the fuck are you trying to give us healthy candy? We're like five, you know? But whatever. So that was my Easter memory. And we always got baskets, and, you know, my mom was always good about giving us a little gift in the basket. So shouts out, Mom. Thank you for that. But yeah, so today my Easter will be pretty much just hanging out here in the Library of Evil. I've got a lot of work to get done today, and you know, maybe I'll get a jelly bean to celebrate my time. Who knows? But aside from that, this week it's been another busy week. You know, at the day job, got some good amount of hours in, and nothing too crazy that throw us off happened. So that was good. I've been preparing all week. Let me just right up top tell you, if you're a Houston area dweller, please come out this Tuesday to Neo Benchy at the Secret Group. That will be on April 3rd, if you're listening, just to give you the context of this. April 3rd at the Secret Group, 8 p.m., Neo Benchy. That's an event that I host every month, alternative cinema event, very, very funny, very, very entertaining. We have a bunch of very talented people within the arts scene of all varieties and all mediums who come and perform at this, where they take a video clip that's about 5 minutes, and they perform their own rewritten dialogue and sound effects live as we project it. And it's very, very cool. I know, you know, a few episodes ago I talked about this because I bombed hard that night. That was the transition of the show. We were trying to start a new thing, and man, I just did not, it just did not work out well for anyone involved. But this week, like, we've been working very hard to get this all together, and we've made some, me and the other, myself and the other people in the collective that run the show, we've put some tweaks to the storyline and the just basically the new universe we're creating, to where we think it's going to work a lot better in the live show format. It's going to flow, it's going to make more sense, and I'm going to have more freedom to be myself, John Wayne, hosting, rather than trying to keep a character straight and be myself at the same time. So, not that it can't be done, I'm just not used to it. We've been working really hard on that. We have some great videos filmed that are going to be fucking hilarious, that to add to this whole event. So come on out. It's only $5, 8 o'clock at the Secret Group, and the Secret Group is fucking rad. I would say just make a night of it. If you go there, go to Benchy early, and then there's Trash Flavored Trash, which is one of their awesome comedy shows, regular comedy shows that they have, the Secret Group. Secret Group's badass. Just go check it out. It's $2 wells after 10 o'clock too that night. So come on. What do you have to do? Give me a break. Who's better than you? Just take the rest of the week off. It's Easter anyway. Just call in some bullshit excuse for, you know, the zombie Jesus brought you a Holocaust banana or something. I don't know. Something to get off. Who cares? Or just do blow all night. Stay up, go to work. That's it. It's going to be a good time. So I've been preparing for that all week, you know, going through, doing some videos, you know, some just prep, promotion. That's been a lot of my week thus far, plus some other projects and hanging with some friends I haven't, you know, got to hang with one-on-one for a while. It's been a good week in that respect. Trying to think, what else have we got going on? New merch coming from John Wayne is Dead, and from myself, John Wayne. We got that, Chris Jett and I, shouts out, got that together. Some new shirts will be rolling on out, John Wayne is Dead style, with our new record. Hopefully, if you've been following, I've been giving you the updates blow by blow, and since my last update, I have not gotten an update. So all I'm left to assume is that they did fix the issue on the that was in the plate that caused that bump and skip in the record, and they are forging ahead, pressing them, I hope, and that we'll get them very, very soon, because we were projected to get them here in April, and it's April 1st, so fingers crossed, dicks tied in a knot. But yeah, new merch, and then also, as I've said, I'm hitting that convention scene pretty hard, and you know, going strong. I booked my trip to Chicago to Printer's Row. I can't remember if I talked about that last week, if I had done that, but if not, I booked that travel. That's done. I'll be up there with Michael Allen Rose and Sada Namir and all my other good friends, Josh Spicoli, Martins. What's up, my little brother? I think I did talk about this. Yeah, so that's all finalized, and I'm making a shirt for myself, and you know, I think it's going to be just to sell shirts, because shirts sell at these conventions, man, and every little bit of thing, anything else you can add to your table is a positive. It's a plus. It's more things for people to stop and actually look at what you have, and you can engage them more. So, like, I do some pretty creepy, cool little drawings, and I've got this whole character thing of John Wayne and John Wayne is Dead and all those little characters I've created. I'm going to make a shirt about me and my books and stuff to sell at the convention. So it's going to be a two-sided shirt, and it's I think it's pretty cool, but whenever that's finalized, I'll post the design and let you guys know. I'm only going to do a limited run at first because I want to see how it goes, and then I'll expand it. But that's exciting. We got so things are happening. Orders are made. Things are being done. Hands are being shaken. Babies are being kissed. Dicks are being stroked. It's all coming together, people. And speaking of coming together, go ahead and jump right into our tarot reading of the week. Three-card tarot reading this week. Now, this is interesting how it all went together. I've actually had all of these cards before, so I kind of knew looking at them like what was going on. But when I got a little deeper into them, I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense the way it flows. So this provoked a lot of thought in me this week. First card I drew was the Nine of Wands. The Nine of Wands represents that you stand for what you believe in, you hold firm in those beliefs. It is a sign of hope and encouragement. If you stand strong against your challenges, you will achieve your goals. This is something like that I, for my personal life, I look at, you know, just daily you get met with challenges. Resistance comes up as far as, you know, me applying this to my writing career. You know, there's a lot of challenges in many different forms. And basically this, you know, the picture on this card, it depicts a man standing there. He's got the nine wands behind him, or eight wands behind him, and he's holding the ninth one. They're all stuck in the ground, like, you know, like in triumph, kind of like he has them like a fence almost, and he's leaning on the other one, weary from battle, which means basically the picture is him having just completed a battle. He's weary, he needs rest, but he still has the motivation and fight and spirit in him to go back out and fight again if need be. So that's pretty inspiring to me, because that's kind of how you have to be. You know, the challenges aren't going to... Just because you maybe got over some big hump of something that you were dealing with doesn't mean that you get, like... You know, it's not like a video game where the next level is going to be, you know, a piece of cake or something. Is that how video games work? I don't know. You know, things come. You might not get a rest. You might not get a chance to catch your breath from the first challenge. You've got to be ready to go to the next one. And I think that is the testament of how, you know, truly successful people, you know, they have that. You have that fight in you to keep going. Like, that's what stops a lot of people. Is they're like, I beat this, but now I have to do this. Ah, fuck it. I don't have, you know, the gumption to do that. And they quit. The challenges before you are the last bit of darkness before the break of dawn. So, I know that contradicts exactly what I just said, but that's kind of like I think that that's just a saying that you must continue to press on. That the dawn will come, but you just don't know when. And maybe this one is the last thing you have to overcome to get whatever that dawn represents within your own journey for that moment. But there's other dawns you have to get to, you know. It's not just one day of celebration. This card encourages you to stay resilient. Opportunities will continue and your interests will be questioned, so be patient and vigilant. You will prosper if you maintain your position, which is, you know, pretty much what I'm saying. Like I said before, you know, you have to be vigilant. You have to be patient. Patience and balance is something I talk about on this podcast all the time, and I'm trying to get better at being patient in all aspects across the board in my life, and then also achieving that balance in all those different areas, and then the larger overall balance of everything together. But you can achieve that. Yeah, you just have to stay vigilant. I have to stay patient. It's be on guard for hidden obstacles as well. You know, those are things that can come out of nowhere. Like I said, that can be something that you didn't think was an obstacle, and then all of a sudden it becomes an obstacle because it was kind of hidden. You know, what I take away from this card is, you know, you have to keep pressing through. Like I mentioned before, this is where people complain about, like, man, you know, how did they get that? How did they get, you know, how did they get this book deal? How did they get this television show? How did they get this part in the thing? You know, that's not fair, or that seems impossible. Well, that's people view that as impossible or too hard, and they just quit because they don't have the gumption. I mean, I keep saying the word gumption. I don't know, like, the drive to continue and to know that, you know, to reach deep down and find more power to keep going. And that's why, you know, success in these things, and especially high levels of success, are very, you know, there's a reason why only a few people achieve those things, or certain amounts of people, or certain people do it. It's because not everyone has it, or they don't even give themselves a chance to have it. So at least give yourselves a chance to see if you have it. Press on. Don't quit. My next card was the Three of Swords. This is kind of a bummer card, kind of, but in the context of this read, it works. It's the Three of Swords represents rejection, sadness, separation, loneliness, heartbreak, betrayal, and grief. Wow, it's looking good already, huh? But the way that you look at it is, these things are a necessity in the journey of life. Without them, there would be no challenges and no lesson learned from them. The pain motivates you to surmount obstacles and learn from your mistakes. So that's what I'm looking at this card as representing for me on the journey that I'm, you know, going on, or we're all going on. It's all this shit happens. It doesn't mean that I'm, you know, you're going through all of these things, sadness, lonely, heartbreak. You know, these are the things that have come up on your path, or potentially will come up. And, you know, rather than letting these things defeat you or bring you down or impede you on your journey, you know, this is basically saying, you know, learn from these things and let that motivate you on, so when the next one comes, you'll get through it quicker. You'll learn from that pain you've already experienced. So when these things come up, you can navigate them a little bit more easier. So the pain that comes with challenge is an opportunity to grow stronger. I agree with that. Pain can cloud your vision at times, but eventually lets you see clearly and put the past behind you. I agree with that. You know, when you're going through something, or you're down, or you're feeling pain in one of those ways, it's very easy to start getting, like, the way I read clouds your vision is like losing sight of all goals, losing sight of hope, you know, starting to, like, get all dark and brooding, not like yourself mainly, you know, because it's pulling you off your path, you know, it's clouding your vision. But what this saying is, like, push past that, and then it's going to let you see even more clearly once you can put that behind you. And again, I would say that helps me. I'll just speak for myself, know that when that stuff comes around again, I don't have to feel that pain. I got through it, and I'll remember how I got through it and how I, you know, made it through, and use that to get through again. The challenges will remain and come, but if you can no longer perceive them as negative or bad, they will lose their impact on you. Like, that's kind of just what I said. You know, if you look at them as like, I've done this, okay, no, I'm not gonna fall apart, it's not the end of the world, we know how to get through this, then that kind of loses its power. Like in that episode of The Simpsons, when, you know, if they looked at the billboards, they all came to life and sort of smashing up the city, and at the end Lisa's like, just don't look, just don't look, and they did, if you didn't look at them, they lost their power. That's how I kind of see this. You know, you will, you know, when they come back, you've got this knowledge now that you've learned, and their power is gone, so it was not going to be as big and bad and horrifying as it was before. My own notes I wrote, I for myself is don't let pain and difficulty associated with it tear you apart. Learn to train yourself to react differently in order to grow. An example of this. Now, like getting feedback on what you are doing, whether it be, you know, work-related or in my case in performance or writing related, you know, it's not easy to take even constructive criticism sometimes. It's just there's ego involved within you or me that it's just sometimes it's hard to take. I found though, like, and this is an example, you know, I got some feedback, constructive criticism on performances that I did. This in a conversation I had last night with a very good friend of mine, and it, you know, I was actually kind of impressed with myself, to be quite honest with you, the way I was like, I just kind of was like, you know, I didn't let the defensiveness come up because I right away kind of wanted to explain myself, not to mention the fact that, you know, if I can also say this to everybody that's out there, give your feedback and criticism to people, your feedback to your friends. If you're truly good friends within the arts and you work together, we got to be able to take our feedback from each other without having butthurt feelings. And that's just something that you grow with and things. And I'm not saying that I feel that way or felt that way. I'm just saying in general, like, I see that happen way too much. You know, we're professionals. We got to take the feedback, and this is a person you love. And then the same thing, if you have something to say to somebody feedback wise you think that would help them or make it better, don't be afraid of that confrontation. Please, you're only doing a disservice to your friend and yourself by not bringing that up. So but I got, you know, and I got some feedback, and these were from performances from way back, and it was just like at the time not able to be. And it didn't just have to do with me. It was like kind of like a whole big thing. But I was like, in my mind, I was kind of like, man, I really wish that this would have been brought up to me at the time so I could have corrected it, because I thought that I was, you know, doing one thing and, you know, maybe it was something else that was expected of me in some way that I didn't know. So you have to communicate those expectations, but at the same time, be able to take that. And you know, so tying it all back around, like it says, like, you learn from the pain, you learn from, you get stronger from this pain. It's like, I think that, you know, with all the feedback, all the rejection I've gotten, you know, all the feedback and rejection, you know, you continue to experience, I continue to experience on this journey, you can just navigate that, you know, every day a little bit better. And I feel like last night that was like, wow, I really took that to heart and did not want to have like a but I was, you know, it was, that wasn't in there. It was just like, all right, you know what, you're absolutely right, and I see this. So there we go. Next card, 10 of Pentacles. Now I've had this card a few times, including like I think 2 weeks ago on the podcast, so I'm not going to go super in depth on this, but it does make a nice little ending for this reading, because the 10 of Pentacles, you know, it shows the guy on the front. He's got all the pentacles, coins everywhere, and his family, and their sheep and dogs, and they're all having a great grand old time, because this is a card of accomplishment and celebration of the challenges met, and the rewards that come with that, basically. You know, so this is like this is showing you at the end of the journey when you've gotten all of the shit that comes with it. And it also, like, you know, if you go back or you want to research this card a little more on your own, it doesn't necessarily mean like, you're done, you know. It just represents the end of one challenge or one victory, you could say. And, you know, it's saying to take time to celebrate in those things. I think we know how I feel about that. I don't like to rest on my laurels. I'm trying to get better at saying like, yes, that was a good job I did. Now on to the next one. But the reason why this card is so good for the end of this reading, it's like all of it, you know, through the Nine of Wands, through this Three of Hearts, or Three of Swords, I mean, it's all about pressing through these challenges, digging deep to find that energy that it should, you don't even know if you have anymore, and pressing on even when it seems impossible and you don't think you can go on anymore. and then we have the Ten of Pentacles at the end saying, like, if you, it's like, if you do these things, if you can do this, this accomplishment awaits. You will fulfill this accomplishment, which is said in the other two cards. And then this is the card that really rams it home for me on that one. So, you know, it's just, it comes together like that. You got to keep fighting. You just can't quit. You just can't quit. I can't stress that enough. But yeah, that's the reading, and that was another good one. I like to have different cards when I read, just because I don't know, just because it's fun for me. But even having this cards I've gotten a few times already in this reading, you know, I haven't gotten them like this. I haven't gotten them in this order, and it's interesting to see how it comes out. So it came out pretty cool. So anyway, there we go, tarot reading. Moving right along to our story this week, friends. Like I said, I couldn't come up with an Easter story. I could not come up with an April Fool's story or a jelly bean story or something like that, or a chocolate story. But what I did come up with is a story of luck. If you'll have me, what the fuck is wrong with me? Luck, if you will. And would I like to? Well, let me just. I'm not even going to bury the lead. Let's just say, I call this one the day I lost all of my white privilege. So this story happened not too long ago. Maybe a year or so. And it starts with. Well, it starts with me having an expired inspection sticker on my car. So here in Houston or in Texas, we only have one sticker now. We used to have two stickers that you would get on your car. One was an inspection sticker and one was a registration sticker. They've, over the last, like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, combined these two. So you basically have to go get your car inspected and pass, and then bring the pass thing to, you know, one of the locations that lets you pick up your sticker. You know, the Kroger does it here at the checkout or the customer service counter. But if you fuck up and wait too long, you have to go to court and wait in line, and it's a whole plastic hassle, pain in the ass. So I missed, the reason mine was expired is because I needed new tires badly, and I wasn't going to pass the inspection with the tires that I had. So I was waiting to get these new tires. I really was, and I did get, end up getting them, and I got a great hookup from my dad where he was working at the time. Wild Bill, shouts out, thank you, sir. And it was literally, I want to say this was maybe this was like a Tuesday night, maybe a Thursday night, and I had gotten the tires that weekend before, right? But I hadn't gone, because I had to go to the courthouse, so I hadn't done any of that all week, whatever. But I do, on that Thursday night, go to a live show that some of my very good friends are doing, and it was a talk show, kind of live talk show performance, and they had interviews, and they did some fun stuff, and it was going to be their last show, I believe. So I went out there, and it was outside. It's at this cool bar here. I forget, what is it called? The Raven Tower. And so check that place out. It's actually pretty cool. So we're there, we get there, you know. I'm always never without my grandpappy's trusty medicine. So of course I had to enjoy some on the drive over there. Because why not? And then get there and then meet some friends and have some more of the grandpappy medicine. Go inside the bar and I get a beer. This is my first beer of the night. Full pint of beer. I go to where the show's going to be, at the little outdoor stage, and they have these nice, you know, kind of cool-looking comfy chairs that, you know, have a lean back so you're not, like, straight up and down. And so I sit down in this chair, and I put my beer on the armrest, a very big, thick armrest, you know, plenty of room to set stuff down, so it wasn't like I was like, oh, is this going to teeter? I set it down on that. I turn to the other side to continue talking to whoever I was talking to. And next thing I know, my crotch is extremely wet and cold. I look over. What happened was I didn't realize that the armrest of the chair was also on a slight slant. And when I put that down, it was just slick enough to slide. The pint glass just slid right across off the arm and dumped right into my lap. Entire beer, taking like maybe one sip as I sat down so I'd make sure I wouldn't spill it because it was so full. So I sit and look at that. I'm like, fuck, what the fuck is this all about? Shit. But I'm wearing black jeans, as I'm mostly wearing. So I was like, well, you can't see it. It's not like I, you know, you can see beer all over me, and I don't want to leave. The show just is about to start. So fuck it. You know what? Rock and roll. That's what happens. Let's go. Let's do it. So I'm like, yeah, I just accepted the fact that I'm gonna have a wet crotch for a while, but you know, I'll get over it. So I go get another beer, laugh about it on my way. But I'm also like, man, I'm gonna smell like just reek of beer when this dries. And so we see the show. It's a fun time. Have some more beers. I go out to my car, have another smoking session with a couple friends, and I come back into the bar to meet up with some of the other friends that are there that are going to another location. They're like, hey, we're gonna go to this bar called Lalo, and it's like a tiki themed not like the Tiki Torches themed guys up in Virginia. It's like a tiki bar with like Hawaiian and a bunch of rum drinks is their specialty. So I'm, you know, I know it's a school night, I've got work the next day, but at the same time I'm also think like, well, that bar is very close to my house, so I might as well stop on the way home and have another drink with everybody, and why not? I'm feeling loose, so I agree. And we all go to leave. I get in my car and I decide, you know what, I just need a little bit more of the Grandpappy medicine for the drive, and on that, then I'll be set sitting pretty. So I do. I smoke another bowl on the drive to the second bar. So we get there. We're all talking. I don't stay super long, but I did have two more beers. That's it. I wasn't drinking cocktails. I'm not like super into a lot of cocktail drinks. You know, rum's cool, but I'm not like, I don't need some kind of pineapple upside down plane crash fucking whatever the fuck it is for $14. Just give me a beer, please. So I do that, and I have a good time, a good conversation. It was a very, very fun night. And I left the bar, you know, thinking like, I'm glad I stopped. I'm glad I went to extra, you know, have some extra hangout time with some people. And, you know, this was a good night. I'm glad I went out to this. So I get in my car, and basically to get to my house from this bar, all I have to do is drive less than a half a mile from the bar to the light, take a left on the feeder road, and just go. I mean, I just could stay on the feeder for maybe a mile, 2 miles to the entrance of my neighborhood, and right on my street, and I'm home, right? No big deal, no big driving thing to navigate, you know, no hills, no mountains, no treacherous paths. Not that that matters, but that's what I'm thinking at that time. Like, it's easy, simple. Get in the car, I do that, just that. I turn at the light, I'm on the feeder, I'm just cruising. I'm not speeding, I'm not dumb. But I'm just driving along, I'm listening to music, I'm feeling good, and I get to the light right before, basically, it's the last light before I'm gonna get to the entrance of my neighborhood off the feeder. So I'm very close to home. And I'm in the far right lane, and I look next to me in the left lane is a police cruiser. And I'm like, oh shit. And the only reason I was oh shitting was because my sticker is expired. But like the way he was kind of still behind, like he wasn't up as far as I was in the line. So I was like, well, he's not in front of me. So if he stays behind me, he's not gonna be able to really see my sticker. So I should be cool. Light turns green, I pull up, you know, I'm driving along. We get past the intersection, he gets right behind me and turns his lights on immediately. And I'm like, fuck. Now let's just keep in mind, for the listener at home, let's go back. If you're keeping score on this, let's think. Spilled an entire beer on myself. Let it dry. It smells like beer. I don't know if you kept count, but I already lost count of how many times I smoked in my car before driving home. But let's just say it was like six, and one of them was recent, within like 40 minutes. It definitely just, it's like a Jamaican rock concert in my car right now. I know it. The officer's gonna know it as soon as he comes up, and I just am just mentally preparing myself. Now, I've never been arrested. I've never gotten like a DWI and nothing like that. I'm not even knock on wood, because I'm in control of these things. But at that moment, I was like, well, this is happening. This is gonna happen. This could be bad. So I don't fuck around when I get pulled over. I roll my window down. My engine is off. Now, we're on like the feeder, so we're not like pulled off like on a, you know, shoulder or anything. We're just like actually blocking a lane, the far right lane. So I turn my hazards on, and he has got his lights on, of course. And I just sit there. I have my wallet. I already have my license and insurance sitting in my lap as he walks up, and I have both of my hands on the steering wheel. Police officer walks up. He's older Hispanic guy. And when I say older, I just mean like he's not a like 20-year-old rookie. He's probably in, you know, 40s, I would say maybe. And he walks up. He's like, "How's it going?" I said, "I'm good, sir. How are you?" You know, no like no cheekiness or anything. So he then leans, puts his elbow, you know, and forearm on my window, open window, and leans on it in towards me and says, and I'm waiting for it because I know he can smell it. I can smell it. People two blocks away can smell the marijuana in my car. And he says, "Hey man, you know, your inspection is expired 5 months ago." So that wasn't what I was expecting him to say. So I say, yes, sir, I do know that. I had to get new tires before I could pass inspection, which, as you can see, I just got them this weekend. So I just need to get time to go get the inspection and get to the courthouse and do it. I haven't had time. That's not an excuse though. And I apologize. And he just looks at me and shakes his head and says, "5 months, dude." And I just said, "Yes, sir. I understand. I'm just trying to get it together." And he's like, "Let me see your license and insurance." And he looks at it, and he's like, "Is this your current address?" I said, "Yes, sir." So right up there at the turn. And he's like, "All right, sit tight." So now this is that dreaded time, you know, when they go back to their car. And you're thinking like, well, this could, if you're in a normal traffic situation, you're like, oh man, I hope he just comes back and gives me a warning. I hope he just gives me a warning. That wasn't what I was thinking. I was like, man, who do I call when they take me? Like desperately trying to see if I can remember Katie's phone number, my lovely fiance, because I have a program in my phone, don't have anything memorized, like a moron, I know. But I'm like, ah, shit. And then the coup de grace, in my opinion, is the second police cruiser slowly pulls up next to the first one, lights on, and I'm like, oh well, that's it. Because when they bring the second car, that's when you know I've been told from people who've been arrested, like, that's when you know, like, you're getting arrested. They brought the second car. They're gonna take you. So I was like, fuck. All right, here we go. I'm trying to think of how much money I have. What can I do? So the cop that originally pulled me over, he gets out of his cruiser. He leans into the window of the other car. He's talking. They're talking for a minute or so. To me, felt like an hour. And I'm like, oh, God. And then he stands up out of the thing, and that second cruiser just goes on slowly past me and goes down the road. And I'm like, what the fuck? So my original cop, he comes up back up to the window, and he's got his, you know, a clipboard with a ticket thing he's printed out on his magic ticket deal, and he's like, "Give you a ticket for your sticker tonight, man. You got those tires? Let's get this inspection done now. 5 months, it's way too long. get this taken care of. And I was like, yes, sir. Absolutely, sir, yes. And I signed the thing, like my hands all shaking, give it to him. And I just slowly pull away, wondering what the fuck happened. Like, that was like stealing. How did that happen? And I'm racking my, you know, first of all, I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth. I'm not like trying to figure, you know, like, you know what, man, you should have done. No, I'm just very grateful to have not just gotten arrested. And I can't help but rack my brain a little bit of like, why did this go down like this? Why didn't he? I mean, it's obvious. I mean, I can smell beer on me. I know the car smells like weed. He leaned his head in the car to talk to me. He leaned on the thing. What is this? And I start thinking like, well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe he saw my address and saw that I was like right about to turn into my street in my neighborhood and was like, ah, I'm not gonna fuck with this guy because he's right here at his house. And the only reason I pulled him over is for a sticker, not for driving weird. I thought maybe that was a thing. I also thought, you know, maybe he was about to get off shift and, you know, the last thing he wanted to do was have to do an arrest report and DWI paperwork whenever it takes hours, because maybe he just wants to get off, go home. It was almost 11 o'clock. Other than that, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know why he didn't persist. And if there's any question as to whether, you know, yeah, did it actually smell in your car? I mean, are you serious? The next day, I went to work. So I went to work all day. And at lunchtime, around noon or one, I go to lunch. One of the guys that worked with me at the time, Frank, was like, hey man, can you give me a ride to whatever? We'll get lunch. I was like, yeah. He jumps in my car, shuts the door, puts on his seatbelt, and sits there for a second. And the first thing he says is, John Wayne, do you smoke weed in this car? So you know it smelled like weed. So after that, basically, since I couldn't figure it out, I just kind of chalked it up to my white privilege, you know, that everyone always says like, well, yeah, get that white privilege. I just, that's all I can say. And I honestly think that I used up all of my white privilege that night. That's it. It's all gone. So, at least that's the only thing I can figure. But, you know, it's pretty safe to say that, since I've cashed that all out, I might be going down next time, people. So, let's be safe out there. Keep those stickers up to date. All right, so there you go, guys. You know, you gotta be careful out there, especially if you're, you know, cruising on some borrowed time with your privilege that's been checked. I know, I'm just joking. I'm just funning. I know there's a lot of talk about that kind of stuff, and I'm just your old jokester friend, John Wayne. I don't know what's going on. I'm high. But anyway, so that was that story. But oh, I did want to give a little recap if I could. For last week's episode, Zipper Meat, I got a lot of feedback, comments about either other people saying how they got their dick caught in their zipper before, or people like being completely sicked out by it and it disgusting them and making their crotches hurt. Lots of great feedback as always. So this, also in that story, I talked about how when I did zip my dick in my zipper, I dropped my phone in the toilet because I was, you know, cradling it against my ear and shoulder. So this week, I was working pretty hard all week on stuff. I had a shoot. I had a lot of, you know, some things to be at. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I didn't party or anything. You know, I'm taking it easy anyway. So I hadn't drank any beers really since the Friday of the week before. And up on, it was Thursday. Thursday night, I get home from work. I'm like, I want a beer, man. I got to, you know, you get the taste in your mouth, you want a beer. So I went and got some beers, Yellow Rose from Lone Pine Brewery. Shouts out Lone Pine, Magnolia, Texas. I start drinking those, and you know, and then I had a couple of those, and then I went and visited the Monsignor, who had a baby Monsignor recently. I had a couple beers with him, and then I went to Brash, shouts out to Brash. I had some beers there, but anyway, I was nice and toasty, and that was my own problem, my own fault. So I get home from the bar, and I go into the bathroom, and I'm taking a piss, and I took my phone out to, like, look at my phone, because that's what you do, I guess, and I took it out and promptly dropped it right into the toilet that I was pissing into. And I was like, ah, fuck, and I reached in and grabbed it out real quick and started, like, shaking it off and dried it with the same towel that I use after my showers. And I'm looking at it, and it's not going black, and the screen still works. I can open it. It still recognizes my face. I'm going through stuff, and I'm like, oh man, I hope this didn't fuck up. The case I have on it's pretty solid, so I think that probably helped me. But that doesn't help that you have open ports and shit. So I'm like, oh fuck, I hope I didn't ruin my phone because I'm fucking drunk and dumb. And I just told a story about this. But then I told Katie, and she took it, and she tested the microphone and the speakers, and those worked. So she was like, I think it's fine. So I went to bed that night, and I plugged in my phone. And when I woke up Friday for work, I took it off the charger, and it had 1% battery. And I was like, what do you mean? What the hell has been on the charger all night? Why wouldn't it? Oh, shit. I dropped my phone in the toilet last night. The memory came rushing back to me, and I was like, ah, fuck. I bet it did fuck up. Now the port's fucked up and it won't charge. So I put my mouth to the charge port at the bottom, the USB thing, and I like suck in, and then I blow into it, and then I plug it back in, and it starts charging. I'm like, yes, okay, good. And then I instantly think, wait, did I just suck pee water out of my phone and put my mouth on it? Is that what I did? And that was what I did. So so whatever happened, I don't know. Maybe the gods must be crazy. They just wanted me to drop my phone in the toilet again, or maybe I did it to myself, some self-sabotage thing. But either way, another funny time in the life of me. Anyway, my phone's good so far, so you know. But that's it for this week, guys. Thanks for joining me again. Please check out, please buy a book this week from me, if you don't mind. I kind of need some dough. No, but if you can, support me and the podcast by buying one of my books, go over at Amazon or going to johnwayneisdead.com. The links are there for you to buy the books from Amazon, or you can go to the shop page of johnwayneisdead.com and buy them directly from me, and I will sign them and send you some goodies as well. Also, all of my books are on Kindle. If you want to support that way, I truly appreciate it. My newest book, Death Packs and Left-Hand Paths from Grindhouse Press, is doing good. So if you want to check that out, I'd really appreciate it. Also, look for Chargeland, Ant Poster, The Porn Star Retirement Plan, and of course, the book for which this podcast comes from, John Wayne Lied to You. Also, I've got a lot of dates up at the johnwayneisdead.com page for shows that Chris and I will be playing, as well as some conventions that I'm going to. And it's going to be great. So yeah, let's all have a great week. Be sure to follow me on at John Wayne is Dead on Twitter and Instagram, and John Wayne Communale on Facebook. Let's keep our dicks out of our zippers. Let's keep our white privilege in check. Let's not drink and drive, and let's all stay alive. Bye.
Mockingbird Network.